Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss Star Wars, The Bad Batch, currently airing on Disney Plus. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my fellow Twi'lek revolutionary, Tony Sindelar. Hi, Tony.
We prefer to say Twi'lek.
Twi'lek, you know.
Hello, nerds. It's me, Tony Sindelar, here to talk about Star Wars with Dan Morin, a very limited commodity that you can only obtain weekly on this podcast.
I mean, there's probably times we talk about Star Wars not on this podcast, but that's like above and beyond.
Yeah, that's not released. If you're interested in that, come to our house. Hide in the bushes.
Don't. Please don't.
In this scenario, we apparently live in the same house,
which is not true. Yes. Yeah. It's just two guys living in the same house talking about Star Wars, you know, like usual.
Bert and Ernie style. No problems there. So just two great, real close pals. Life partners. Star Wars
friends. Yeah.
We're recording this at a different time and day than our normal thing, which brings with it a different energy, an energy you're experiencing now. Hello.
This is an energy where we both probably need it now.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know how much editing you're going to do on this one, but best of luck.
The goal is none. We'll see how that goes. All right. We are here to discuss episode 11 of The Bad Batch's first season, entitled Devil's Deal. Our episode opens on Ryloth, a planet familiar to many fans of previous Star Wars shows, including Rebels and Clone Wars. And we are seeing Ryloth post the Imperial victory in the war. And essentially, the Empire has made a deal to open a refinery here. The people on Ryloth, who are not super happy because they spent a lot of time sort of fighting on their occupied planet during the war, are grumbling about it. And we are introduced to a handful of characters, some of whom, again, if you've watched previous Star Wars animated or in some cases live action, I think you will be familiar with a few of these characters, which include Gobi Glee, Sham Syndulla, and his wife, I think her name is Eleni Syndulla, as well as Senator Ta, who I think appears in some of the prequels. I don't know if he has a line.
I guess I did not realize he was a live action person.
I think he does appear in some of the prequels, but maybe I'm misremembering.
Anyways. Lots of Clone Wars episodes. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Our old friends, quote unquote friends, Admiral Rampart and Crosshair, are also present. There is some discussion of essentially whether or not the Twi'leks will give up their weapons and sort of step down from their military jobs to let the Empire's clone army take over security. And eventually, Cham Syndulla has to step forward and like get everybody to calm down because apparently he's well loved. He's very popular. Meanwhile, we meet yet another character who we have a long history from, if you are familiar with Star Wars Rebels, who is Hera Syndulla, the daughter of Cham and Eleni, and her droid pal Chopper, who are out gathering intel about the refinery when they are apprehended by clones and sort of dragged back to her parents. The lead clone, who is named Hauser, who is actually the first clone I think we've seen in a while that has sort of a personalization thing going on.
Yeah.
And is apparently friendly with Cham, has sort of said, like, look, I'm not gonna file a report, but, you know, you can't let this happen again. But as Hera's taken away, it's clear that her mother is also still kind of invested in the idea that maybe the Empire's up to no good. The senator, meanwhile, thinks that Cham Syndulla is too popular and wants Admiral Rampart to basically deal with the insurgents. And he sort of groups Sham together with Gobi, who is formerly Sham's lieutenant. The Syndullas are given a tour of the mine, which is guarded by some scary turbo lasers, and essentially, you know, are become increasingly skeptical of the Empire's purpose here. Meanwhile, Hera goes on a supply run with Gobi, and is basically suckered in by Gobi telling her that he was going to let her pilot this time. And we've learned that piloting and flying is her dream. And so she is sent off on this trip onto a moon or something where they are going to meet their contact. And their contact, like halfway through the episode, is our friends, the Bad Batch.
Oh, they're in the show?
They're in this episode.
This show that's named after them? Good for them.
Yeah. This is not just an episode about, you know, we're not just a show following Twi'leks now. I mean, I don't know. Would that be better? Worse? I'm not sure. Meanwhile, the ship has been tracked by Crosshair. And as the The Bad Batch is exchanging their weapons they're delivering to Gobi. Hera takes a tour of the ship with Omega, and they sort of bond a little bit over the living on a spaceship. On the way back from the deal, the ship is shot down, and Hera and Gobi and the lieutenants are sort of grabbed by a bunch of clones and arrested, including Rampart and Ta are also there. Hauser protests against sort of arresting the kid, but ultimately obeys. And meanwhile, Rampart's got sort of a plan going because he knows that some of Champ Syndulla's people are watching them, but does not have them immediately arrested. So they seem to be working a plot here. Chopper reports in to Cham and Eleni that Hera has been found guilty of treason without any trial. So, of course, they go to ambush the convoy, and we have a bit of a fight scene as they sort of get them loose. And at the end, we have sort of Cham holding Rampart and Ta at gunpoint and is tempted to shoot the senator when instead the senator is shot by Crosshair at Rampart's direction. Chopper gets Hera out. Rampart tells Hauser to track down Hera as we see them sort of zip off into the canyons. And that's where we're left at the end of this episode. Cliffhanger! Yeah, so that's, I guess we're picking up next week, which I guess I could have guessed because as we discussed in a previous episode, there's like a rescue on Ryloth is next week's title, I think. So I guess that tells us where we're going.
Yeah, so very interesting episode given the structure of the season, an episode where our heroes have not much more than a glorified cameo. You know, Dave Filoni, that guy, he loves his Star Wars characters, he loves his settings, he loves his multi-generational impact of stuff, you know, so here we are, seeing all kinds of characters from, I guess, literally Clone Wars and Rebels mixing it up to the point where, you know, the people the show is about, he put those action figures on the shelf for the week. Maybe they'll be back in a more prominent place next week. Someone is already composing a sternly worded tweet to us where it's like, well, Crosshair is technically a part of the Bad Batch, and this episode is about his journey. So,
I like the idea of having the whole, like, it's a spectrum of going from the Clone Wars to Rebels, and Bad Batch is starting to increasingly feel like at least some of the filling in the gaps. I mean, I love Hera and especially Chopper. Chopper is one of my favorites, and I will take any opportunity to see more Chopper in a TV show, frankly. So I'm totally here for that.
So for listeners that are not steeped in the Star Wars canon to the extent of Tony and Dan, congratulations on living a more fulfilling life. But if you would like to see more of Hera as an adult and Chopper, her droid that hangs around, they are the stars of Star Wars Rebels, which is a lovely show that is basically a little bit, whereas Clone Wars is like, let us give you all kinds of things about what's happening across the galaxy. Star Wars Rebels is like, let us show you basically a family, a up-and-coming rebel cell with a, you know, a Padawan who's on the run, a smuggler, a Chewbacca stand-in, a sassy droid, etc. And they're, you know, they're starting off kind of, you know, doing jobs to pay rent, as it were, space rent, and then later getting more hooked into the rebellion as it is forming. So here is another version of the rebellion forming, this time on Ryloth. And we're seeing it at kind of different levels. You know, we have the space politics here of the elected, I guess elected, at least governmental leader of the senator versus the charismatic revolutionary who was probably a military campaign that helped free Ryloth and the tension between them. And I think that there's an interesting kind of bookend of this is a planet that was part of the Republic, whereas we were on one of the independent systems last week.
Yeah, and it has, I don't know, it feels to me a little bit like a, you know, there's a tip of the hat here to something like a la the IRA, right? You know, you have the sort of, you know, we've achieved our goals, but like some people aren't as convinced as others.
Yeah,
there's a whole thing where they have the weapons turned in and like there's some dispute as to like whether sort of the people who previously were like sort of the insurgents or rebels are now part of the legitimate authority. I thought it was kind of a cool dynamic to explore that a little bit.
Cham and his wife, who are at different levels of how they feel about the resistance, and mm-hmm. then is Gobi related to them too? Did somebody say Gobi was an uncle?
I wasn't she sure refers to like him as an uncle, but I think it's an honorary thing.
Honorary he's like versus
he's like Cham's lieutenant. Like,
got it?
Yeah,
yeah. And so we've got even among these, you know, we have three Twi'leks who are not the senator, who are seem to be operating at different levels of how much do they want to go along with things versus what are the methods that our resistance will take? Will it be speech, violence, gun running, etc.?
Right. I think the other thing that was the thing that caught me the most by surprise this week was the Imperial assassination of the senator, which I, you know, in retrospect makes perfect sense, but it makes sense as to like the evil Imperial plot, right, and framing them. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure they were going to shoot one of the Twi'leks and then they shoot the senator in the head pretty, you know, graphically. And I was like, wow, okay, I guess that's a different way you could go. But I liked that. It was a nice twist that I was not expecting.
They said attempted assassination?
Yeah.
He got shot in the head.
Yeah, I think you can drop the attempted is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I mean,
all right. Oh, I was like, is he going to get better?
I don't know. Do Twi'leks not keep their brains in their heads?
Like, they do have very big heads. They have Bib Fortuna has that kind of very like pronounced forehead thing. Mm-hmm, I don't know. Maybe are the brains in the tail? We don't know what's in the tails, the head tails. I don't know. I'm used to shot in the head. It just feels like if you wanted him to not be dead, don't
shoot him somewhere else.
Well, may I suggest an arm?
Well, Crosshair doesn't. You know, Crosshair, he just can't resist. He does. He shoots people in the head, right?
This is part of a short. It seems like a short arc. So we're gonna see what's gonna happen, and I'm sure the Bad Batch is gonna get pulled into the mix. It did feel a little bit like you are setting us up for an arc because it's like if you could shoot the senator in the head, couldn't you have also just shot Cham Syndulla? And I mean, it seems like
right. I think it seems like the logic there is probably they know this guy is insanely popular and the senator is not popular.
Yeah, so shooting him in the head makes him a martyr. Versus
right, exactly.
We need to put him on trial
I'm not sure that this works much better because it didn't seem like the senator was very popular. And so if he shoots the senator, everyone would be like, yeah, well, I don't know. He probably had it coming, right? Like,
well, I mean, I guess it turns him, it makes him no longer kind of a valid political voice, right? It's like,
one would think so, yes.
It discredits him. It felt like, I guess, for an Imperial evil plan, I'm giving it like a C, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
It just felt you know, it seemed like, was this your master plan? You were sure that he was going to attack? I was also like, why is your important senator on this convoy that's so easily, like,
that doesn't seem like a mistake.
Yeah. Like, he should be in the city. You should not let him. Don't put him on this dark, wherever we are.
He doesn't do field trips, right? I mean,
why is that? Don't do that. Yeah, it just seemed like there were a lot of important people riding in that one tank guarded by the two speeder bikes.
Didn't take much to take those guys out. One guy with like a long stick basically killed most of their clones.
Not the best clones.
Right. So. Well, no. We also had we did have another appearance of our Stormtrooper wannabes basically this week. But we don't really get a close view of them. But there is one point where they push back on like the fact that it's a kid who they're you know arresting or whatever going after. And he doesn't, you know, again, Crosshair doesn't really seem to care. I also thought it was interesting that the character of Hauser, who we have not met before, that is not to my knowledge a clone.
This is my
scene.
I look every time I hear a new clone name, I look up Wikipedia and it was like first appearance this episode, and it's like, whew, not someone I've forgotten about.
But what was interesting was that there seems to be pushback from Hauser from, you know, like on some of the things that they're doing, right? And like he kind of pushes back and he seems to be very friendly with Cham. It's clear that they've probably worked together in some of like military operations and stuff. I'm curious because again, he does ultimately follow orders, but he seems less happy about it than perhaps you might expect the clones to be given their built-in sort of, you know, obedience in the inhibitor chips and stuff. So I'm kind of curious to see where that character is going, if anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed significant that it's like one of the few clones that we've seen not wearing a helmet. I mean, their faces all look the same, but you know, choosing to give him have an image. He's got the color scheme of the, like, it's kind of a teal color, whereas I feel like we've seen a lot of clones who are just in the all white.
Right. He's got a distinctive look to him, too. He's got, like, sort of gray hair, and he's got, like, a scar on one side of his face and stuff like that. So, like, they clearly made him stand out for a reason.
Yeah. It kind of feels like there's kind of, we're seeing the clones that actually served through the war.
Right.
Are, like, one group versus... There's a lot of clones kicking around that are like, well, they were just recently turned out and maybe they never actually, you know, were not in battle or did not live, haven't been hanging around for years. The shinies who are, you know, they don't ask questions. They do.
Fresh off the assembly line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think that's an interesting dynamic for sure. And especially in contrast with also having the sort of, you know, proto stormtroopers there as well. We've got all these different dynamic aspects of this. And I thought it was, you know, I thought it was an interesting choice to bring that into the mix here. So I'm kind of curious to see where they decide to go with that. I also thought it was interesting. They very purposefully, I feel like, have our clones wearing their helmets when they make the deal. The way, because I feel like maybe if you're trying to like be like, oh, the clone army is oppressive, and then you buy a bunch of weapons from some clones, they kind of lose a little credibility there. But that said, I feel like those voices are very recognizable. So maybe they're just not the sharpest Twi'leks in the on the planet.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about Hera? As a kid, has a heavy Twi'lek accent.
Well, this
which is slightly French.
Yes,
all the space French.
First of all, I'm fine with the Twi'leks being sort of space French. It does remind me at times of sort of the Belter accent from The Expanse.
It does, yes.
It's not quite as complex or nuanced, but it has a little bit of that. I will say in Rebels, that does come out. There's parts where when she's talking to her father and like his back on Ryloth. And she lapses back into it, yeah.
That's
so
cool.
I think that they did. It's a deliberate thing, and I like it, and I think it's
the voice
cool.
actor for Hera is, I was told, is fluent in French, so that's interesting.
Interesting. Okay,
yeah,
and it is the same. It's Vanessa Marshall who does portray her in other media as well. I think it's funny that we have both seen young Kanan Jarrus and young Hera Syndulla at this point. Maybe those two crazy kids will meet up.
Yep, maybe someday.
Someday.
We don't know how they meet exactly.
Again, interesting in terms of filling in gaps, right? Because there is an episode, and this is, I apologize for spoiling too much Rebel stuff, but there is an episode that deals with how Hera and Chopper came to meet.
Yes.
And so we've already established that they are together at this point. And so I don't think necessarily that we're going to go down the rabbit hole of dealing with origin stories for all of our Rebels characters, but, at the same time, it's not hard to imagine they might pop up from time to time, as we have seen other characters do.
And Filoni loves, I mean, it's part of the kind of Star Wars lore, families, right? So not just Hera, but Hera's family and Sabine from Star Wars Rebel, we have seen her family. So he's into the, not just three generations of Skywalkers get some do. We didn't get a lot from Chopper in this episode. I don't know if we'll get more in the next one. Seemed like in Rebels, Chopper is a kind of like unstoppable source of chaos, and he's
generally
kind of a
pretty surly.
Yeah, he's kind of a chaotic evil droid. I mean, he's on the good guys team, but he's about as merciless and ruthless as a non-talking astromech style droid can be.
I feel like you can't it's hard to get away with that in anything other than a character that doesn't really talk. But there's definitely at least one scene where he like straight up like murders another droid.
Yeah, Dan, is it murder if it's a droid? Droid murdering a droid?
Yeah.
That's
droid on
Dan,
droid violence
is. We call that recycling. So I'm gonna get mail. He's got a lot of punch to him.
How do we feel about this vis-a-vis the seven people in the universe problem? I mean, I don't know,
you know
what your take is on that.
I think I am getting used to it, I guess, in the Dave Filoni version of Star Wars. It is funny that it's like the Bad Batch are just there, right? Like they just pass them through. It's not, and like maybe they're going to get sucked into a mission in the next episode. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe this is going to be more about something weird that's going to happen to Crosshairs. Seems like they should, right? Given that there's less than 20 episodes for them, you should having them take a seat for an arc seems weird. Yeah, it's weird. I'm having trouble judging this episode on its own, and will probably feel better about it once I see how it fits into the arc. Because though it does a lot of things that I think are interesting, I guess I don't know if they are things that are interesting that I like, in the sense of it being a Bad Batch episode. Like, I think it is a fine Star Wars Clone Wars episode. I'm unsure about it as a Star Wars Bad Batch episode.
Yeah, it feels like a Rebels prequel more than anything.
Yes.
And I'm again, I love these characters, and I'm okay with it. I would say, I thought about, a little bit in terms of the limited cast, and in some ways, well, Ryloth is an important planet, and Chamsandula has been established in multiple other media as a very important figure on that planet, and thus, Hera as sort of related to that. It doesn't really surprise me. I mean, I think that you could, obviously you could have set it on another planet and told this story with other characters. But I think that there's a reason for telling it here. And it's that, the Dave Filoni universe, for a better or worse, as we're calling it, is kind of its own little fiefdom inside the Star Wars realm. And, I can easily see a future in which people are like, I watch Clone Wars, it goes straight into Bad Batch, goes straight into Rebels, right? And you have this one sort of continuous storytelling effort with a cast of characters that, may include a lot of recurring characters. Like, I will eat my hat if Hondo Ohnaka does not show up on Bad Batch at some point.
It's just a matter of time.
I cannot believe that they would leave that on the on the table, is my feeling. No. And I'm okay with it. Like, it is telling a story in a subset of the universe in some ways. And I think I'm just as fine with that over telling stories with all, random characters who we may or may not ever see again. But, I understand you can also do both. You can kind of juggle those things.
It's tricky. I mean, he does this a lot, and I guess we just have to decide, are we okay with it? I feel like if you had told me, hey, do you want a 3-episode prequel to Rebels talking about Hera Syndulla's life as a kid? I'd be like, yeah, that's a Star Wars I want to see. Do I want that in Bad Batch? Maybe not, but that's kind of what for example, in Rebels, spoiler for Rebels, like, there's an episode that's about Darth Maul and Obi-Wan in Rebels, right? And it's like, why is this in Rebels? Well, that was the show he was making at the time, right? Yeah, and I think this is...
You want to wrap up an arc that you made in a different show? Yeah, I mean, it's your show, man. I guess you can do that.
It kind of reminds me, like, there was that one-off Dan Justice League Unlimited episode that's like basically a finale to Batman Beyond, because Batman Beyond didn't get a finale.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's like he's taken that and he's like, but I want to do that every week. and so it's, I don't know, it's tricky. He wants to tell Star Wars stories all over the place with his great set of characters. It's just, it's I think it's jarring when it's like, oh, but I thought this show was about the Bad Batch. I thought this show was about this group of rebels. I thought this show is the Mandalorian. And he's like, they're all connected, man. He's got like his map behind him. He's looking at you with wild eyes.
He's got he buys red yarn in bulk.
Yeah, red yarn. Yeah, I don't know. They're not bad stories, and it's neat seeing, like, I feel like we have perhaps gone from there's only 7 people in Star Wars to, like, I want to show how all the movers and shakers in Star Wars are bouncing off each other and impacting the world, and, and marbles are spinning because of the choices and actions they're making. Yes, but also, there's 2 records.
I mean, to be fair, I feel like George Lucas has more or less like established this as the operating principle of the Star Wars universe, in that, everything's really important about this one family and then, like, their whole resonance through like 30 or 40, 50 years. So, I can't really blame Dave Filoni for sort of taking that pattern and running with it a bit. And at least his cast of characters does at times feel a lot more expansive. And, like you said, we haven't done this every week, but,
He does, he doesn't do it exclusively, right?
Right.
I mean, I think of, Dan, you and I both have read Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina, which is a collection of short stories where every person that appeared briefly in the Mos Eisley Cantina gets a short story, and some of them are good and some of them are not. And it's kind of like, it's amusing. It's kind of a thing that didn't need to exist and kind of feels like a thing that was like, somebody who does marketing came up with it, not someone who writes stories about Star Wars. But, Dave Filoni does create entire new worlds and lore also, right? I mean, Rebels starts out set on Lothal, and he is going to build the world of Lothal, which you've never heard of before. And he is totally happy to build lore, too, but he also, he likes to make it all, he likes to remind you that you know, it's all connected. So, I think a year ago I might have found it annoying. Now it's growing on me. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I mean, I think it's the same reason people go to watch a lot of the MCU stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it all ties together and you get a chance to feel like, well, of course these people know each other, right? It's not like the weird universes where you're always like, well, why don't they just call those other pals of them who are on that other show and like they help them out like in this jam? I feel and like they actually like, kind of deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, this avoids the Avengers problem of, like, why don't you call it the Avengers when things are real bad? This is like, well, it's not like, you know, they're not friends with each other. The Bad Batch don't know Hera yet. They just happen to be in the same place at the same time. Because guess what? This is a place in the universe where complicated stuff was going on. You were part of the like, civil war on the planet. We were selling guns to your uncle, you know? yeah.
It happens, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm intrigued. I agree. I think it seems clear that next week at least we'll continue this. I'm unclear as to how much we keep rolling sort of after that through what looks like the rest of the season. I know there's still been some dispute about how many episodes there are. It certainly seems like based on what's listed, take with a grain of salt what's listed on Wikipedia, but they list 14 episodes, while also saying at the top that it's a 16-episode season, but as we've said before,
air dates for the later episodes, which didn't make sense to me, but not titles, so I thought maybe their air dates were made up, and then they were just tacking
also
weeks
possible
to the thing. Yeah, so,
yeah, I mean, just guessing, there's 16 episodes, but just check it out, yeah. Yeah, no. I don't know either, so we'll see what
happens. We're going to watch all of them, listeners.
Yeah. So. We're not giving up, just to be clear. We're not going to like get to 14 and be like, I guess we're done. Not really our move.
So is this called... It's called Devil's Deal. Is that offensive to Twi'leks? Is that why it's called Devils? Because they look devilish?
I don't know. I mean, I also
They got pointy teeth and red eyes. I'm just...
I kind of feel like... even deal with the devil might have been like a little bit more of a like a phrase,
or even devils do. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. Yep. It's a little weird choice in phrasing. They seem to have locked into like, well, I guess they haven't. They've got one word episodes and
follow what I would consider Star Trek The Next Generation episode title things where it's like these don't necessarily mean anything. The names are not memorable till we get to Rescue on Ryloth, which has a proper noun in it.
It's tough too, because it's like the shows where they're episodic and they're like, the episode where something happened, as opposed to shows that have more ongoing plots. It's sometimes harder to carve out what happened on a specific episode. Like, you know, I think about that with The Expanse or stuff like that, where it tells like, you know, one season is a story like from start to finish, and breaking apart what happens in what episode is very different from looking back at like a TNG episode where it's like, the episode where this closed circuit concept occurred.
Yep.
So it's unclear to me what the pattern of the Bad Batch is. And I also am not convinced that it won't evolve as they go through seasons, because I think they will probably spend some time again. I would not be shocked if there was a time jump in between seasons at some point.
Sure.
Just to potentially aging up Omega a little bit, as well as just getting a chance to sort of accelerate the changes that are happening in the universe and have a little bit more of a stark contrast between them. But I don't know. We'll see.
We shall see.
Anything else to add about Devil's Deal?
No, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. We're doing very good, important work.
We're doing the Force's work here. It's true. Mm. All right. Well, we will be back next week to discuss Rescue on Ryloth, which presumably will pick up right where we left off here. But until then, of course, I would like to thank my Star Wars pal, Tony Sindelar, for being here.
Goodbye, nerds.
And I'd like to thank all of you out there for listening as we recap The Bad Batch. If you'd like to support the show, you can always go to theincomparable.com/members, sign up to be a member of The Incomparable. You get a ton of benefits, including bonus episodes not available to the public, bootleg episodes that are released before they're recorded, access to The Incomparable member Slack, and a whole lot more. It's pretty good, and it starts at just $5 a month, so, you know, it's an opportunity for you there.
There's like 100 hours of Tony and Dan playing Dungeons & Dragons that is only available to members.
There is a lot of that. I will not lie. I don't know if that's something that interests you, but you're listening to this show, so at least maybe?
Yeah, your standards are confusing.
Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Bye.